Welcome, ladies. We are so glad you're here today. You are in the breakout, Leveraging Your Life for Jesus. This is the Women's Missional Leadership track. We have two parts. This part, we'll go to lunch, and we have part two. They're not the same thing, just so you know. So Catherine Renfro will be up here in just a second and speaking to us today. And then the second half, we have a whole panel of ladies, and Rivers is going to lead us through that. I'm going to give you a little bit of my name. Tiffany Smith. I work for the Send Network. I'm a strategist, missiologist type person. I work on the strategies and development team, creating new things. I am a single female, so very rare in the church planting world. We've got some singles over here. We've got some Texans I saw over there. I'm a Texan at heart, too. Okay, just so I know who's in the room, how many of you are church planting spouses? Just okay, majority of the room. How many of you are core team members? All right, we are so thankful you're here. We plant together. We do this together, the whole body of Christ. So we're so thankful for you. So today we have a couple things in your chair. I want to just point out to you. We've got the Women in the Mission of God, little book that Catherine wrote, ebook, and we're so thankful that you gave that to us. We've got a card for an evangelism kit and a little sticker, so don't forget those. And then I just want to point out, if you need a translation service, we've got a QR code back there, and you just scan it with your phone. It is, by the way, specific to the hour. So like if you came, or to the room. So if you go to a different room, you would need to scan it for that room, if that makes sense. So if you need some language translation, we've got that back there for you. And I want to not waste any time and introduce our sweet friend, Catherine Renfro. She is the National Director of Women's Evangelism for all of NAM. Yeah, she's an amazing lady. She is a beautiful woman of God inside and out. She is a good friend. She's a good encourager. She lives what she says. She really does. Her husband, Chris, is in the back. They are planting a church, Hope Church, planted in 2021. Is that right? In Alpharetta. And so she's living it. She's living life on mission. And she's going to come talk to us today about leveraging your life for Jesus. I just want to pray real quickly, and then Catherine, you can come on up. Father God, we just take a breath. We just want to reorient our minds, our busy lives, just to take a minute just to concentrate on you. Lord God, we just invite you to speak to our hearts and our minds and our souls. Lord, we ask that you clearly speak to us today. Lord God, we ask that you stir our affections towards you and that you catalyze our hearts towards mission and movement and multiplication and kingdom. Yeah. Lord God, we ask that you just captivate us with wonder and awe of who you are and what you've invited us into. Lord, I ask that you speak through Catherine, that you use her today in a very special way. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you stir within us a special thing for each woman in this room. Lord God, we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Tiffany. Ladies, how are we doing today? Yeah? Okay, I know we ladies can be louder than that. How are we doing this morning? Fantastic. You know, Tiffany's so kind and gives like the best introductions, and I feel like she just needs to follow me around everywhere I go. So that can happen. But listen, I'm so grateful just to be here with you this morning. As Tiffany said, my husband is a church planter. Our family has planted together. We've got two kiddos. We've got a little boy whose name's Isaac. We got a little girl, Ava. Anybody got boys in the room? All right, good. So our boy, the most laid back, easy going guy ever. And then we have our little girl. Anybody got girls in the room? So you know she's not laid back, easygoing. We like to say Ava is our spicy one, if you know what I mean. But she keeps us on our toes. But I'm just thankful for what God allows us to be a part of. As a family, but then also as a faith family. And we are all a part of that family together. You know, the only thing that really you should know about me is that I just love Jesus. And I want to see people come to know Jesus. And I think that's your heartbeat as well. I want to see lost people come to know Jesus. I want to see saved people living out the purpose that God has given them to make Jesus known. There's nothing more exciting than that. And so I'm excited for what we're going to talk about this morning. But so Tiffany just asked who's in the room. Some of you are church planter wives. Some of you are team members. I have a couple other questions. Is there anyone who is on church or on staff at the church? Staff members. Okay? All right. Now, some of you, by the way, may fall into multiple categories, and that's good. Me too. But how many of you work not on a church staff? You work outside the home in a different setting? All right, that's a lot of us. How many of you work inside the home? All right, that is a lot of us also. By the way, hardest job ever. And yeah, I think you ladies are rock stars. Here's what I see. When I look across the room, I see an eclectic group of ladies. And we live in different places. We work in different contexts. We come from different backgrounds. But here's what I know. That we are a group of ladies that have been transformed by Jesus. And God has invited us in to be a part of what He's doing to expand His kingdom here on earth. We all get to be a part of that. And we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning as we talk about leveraging our lives for the gospel. But before we jump in, I want to say just two quick things. Number one, I am so very thankful for you. You're in the trenches. You're serving. You're leading. You're doing what you can in places that God has placed you. But I also want you to know that you've been prayed for. And the reason why I pray for you is because I know the journey of trying to discern what it is that God's calling us to do. I know the journey of trying to figure out where He wants us to do that. And I know the struggle that comes with discerning how in the world are we going to do what He's asking us to do. I also know just in our own personal lives, the journey of figuring out what it looks like just to follow Jesus on a daily basis. I know the intentionality and the struggle that comes with learning what it means just to live a surrendered life to Christ. But it's when we surrender our life to Jesus that He then uses us to show other people what He can do in their life. And so I've prayed for you. I've prayed that this time together is an encouragement for you. I was thinking about the whole purpose of these send gatherings. And church planters come together and their wives and team members and maybe future team members of church plants. We come together and we want, you know, the goal is to be encouraged together and equipped together. But here's what I know. I think in settings like this, oftentimes we ladies, we have this question, what is my role in all of this? Where do I fit in to this? And this morning, as we talk about leveraging our lives for the gospel, my specific prayer has been that we would be so encouraged by the calling that God has placed on our life, and that we would be reignited with this passion to leave here and to leverage our life for this calling. So as we get started, can I just pray for us right now? Let's do that. Lord Jesus, thank you for my sisters in this room. Father, thank you for what you allow us to be a part of. Thank you for the things that happen in our life that teach us who you are. Thank you for just your grace and your patience with us. And thank you for your willingness just to use us. God, I pray this morning that you would ignite a fire inside of our hearts. Lord, you know what every lady came in the doors with. You know the questions, you know the struggles, you know the hurts, you know the joys, you know the wins. You know it all. Father, I pray that you would meet us where we are. Encourage us, maybe challenge us. And more than anything, Father, I pray that we would keep our eyes on you. At the end of the day, we only need to hear from you. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. All right, so if you have a Bible, open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It'll also be on the screen if that helps you out. But we're going to look at verses 17 through 20. This is what Paul writes. He says, therefore, by the way, as I start this, I just think about how God works this out, because we sang a song about this earlier. And then Pastor Brian talked about this a little bit as well. But therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Is anyone thankful for that? Yes. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. All right, this letter that Paul has written to the church of Corinth, I think these words just resonate so much as it puts into perspective not only what God was calling the church of Corinth to do, but what he's calling his global church to do, which includes me and you today. He talks about leveraging our lives for the gospel. And ladies, before we even get started, I want to make sure we understand one thing. I want us to understand that the calling God places on our life has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with what he's already done for us. And so we have to start with verse 17, because what has he done for us? Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Ladies, Jesus has changed our life. He has changed our life. I can only imagine Paul writing these words in the letter to the church of Corinth, because as we know, Paul used to be Saul, right? And Saul, we know, persecuted the church. He was literally murdering Christians. I love what he writes in the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 22. He says, they only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. You know what? Jesus changed Saul's life, and he not only gave him a new name, he made him a new creation. Paul had a past, but Jesus, right? The truth is, you and I, we have a past. You know, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22 says, and you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. What a gift. Ladies, let me ask you this question. Do you remember the day Jesus saved you? Do you remember what life was like before Christ? I remember giving my life to Christ at 13 years old. I grew up in the church. I knew a lot about God. I went on my very first mission trip for no other reason than to have a week away from the family. And God says, hey, you're trying to get away, but I'm leading you there because I want to change your life. And I remember looking around, I'm seeing people worship, and I'm thinking, I'm missing something in my life. And it was a relationship with Jesus. I remember going home and talking to my family and my pastor, because I had so many questions on what it looked like to follow Jesus. What does it mean to pray? Who are we talking to? What does it look like to have a life surrendered to Christ? My pastor answered so many questions. And standing in the living room of my parents' house, I gave my life to Christ. And everything changed. Do you remember that day in your life? The reason I ask you that is because if we ever get over what Jesus has done in our life, we will not leverage our lives for the gospel and tell other people what he can do in their life. So we have to go back to the fact that Jesus has changed us. And here's what I want us to do over the next few moments. I want us to lay the foundation from God's word on the calling that he's placed on your life. And then we'll spend the second half of our time together really laying out, fleshing out a plan to go about leveraging our lives to live out the calling. Here's what we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We see this, that God has given you a ministry. God's given you a ministry. Ladies, I talk to so many pastors' wives of both church plants and established churches who feel like, hey, I wasn't called to ministry, my husband was. Or I talk to ladies who are like, hey, I'm not called to serve vocationally in the church, so I don't think I've been called to ministry. Maybe you're in the room right now, you're on the church planting journey, and you're like, I didn't sign up for this, he did. You know, I feel that. I remember in 2018, 2019, we were a part of a church who had a heart to plant churches. And I'll never forget Chris, my husband, coming home and saying, hey, you know they want to plant a church. They think we're the ones to do it. And I go, oh, no, 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 no. They got that wrong. And in a matter of 5 minutes, ladies, like any good wife, I had successfully convinced my husband not to give even a thought to what God was calling us to do. About 6 months later, the conversation came up again. And he comes home and he says, Catherine, they're still talking about planting a church and they still think we're the ones to go out and do it. Can we at least pray about it this time? So I go, oh yeah, sure, we can pray about it. I think we prayed together that night, asking God, hey, are you in this? Are you calling us to do this? And then ask me, did I pray about it the next morning? No, because I didn't know. I wasn't sure. I remember thinking, hey, I work at the North American Mission Board alongside church planters and their wives, and this is hard. And I'll never forget, the night after we prayed together, the next day, Chris came home, and he said, I know we're praying about this. I told them yes. I was like, wait, what? He said, yeah, I told him yes. I said, we're supposed to be praying about this. And this is what my husband said to me. Catherine, God didn't call us to be comfortable. He said, if we want to do big things for the kingdom, we've got to be willing to do hard things for the kingdom. Some of you are in a place where you feel like we're doing hard things for the kingdom. God's pulling us and drawing us to do hard things for the kingdom. But here, I want you to know that you ladies have a role to play in that. You specifically have a ministry to live out. Now, here's the truth. We all have unique callings on our life. We all have individual gifts and skills and passions. Some of you in this room, anybody creative in the room? Okay, I cannot make a stick figure look good. Can anyone sing? I love to worship. But I tell people, I think God forgot to give me the gift of worship, of singing. Like, it's not good, but we worship anyway, right? Y'all, we're all gifted. And we have different skills. And we do have unique callings on our life. It's the body of Christ that's referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're different parts of the body. We have different functions based on what part of the body we are, which is awesome. But here's the problem. We oftentimes place more emphasis on our unique callings and trying to figure out what that is, that we fail to focus on the universal calling that he's given us as followers of Jesus. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. He says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Ladies, once Jesus reconciles us to himself, he gives us this ministry of reconciliation. That's the ministry of pointing other people to Jesus and sharing with them how they too can be reconciled to God. That's the ministry. But now here's the misconception that we face. Is oftentimes we confuse the ministry with the place or area in which we serve and lead, rather than what we're supposed to do in those ministry areas as we serve and lead. Does that make sense? All right, let's take a few examples here. Talk to me for a moment. Tell me some areas that you serve in, inside the walls of the church or outside the walls of the church. Anybody? Kids ministry. Say it again. Women's ministry. Perfect. What else? Students. Fantastic. What else? Worship. I'm jealous of you guys. What else? Administrations? Connections? Anywhere else? Outreach. Perfect. You see all these areas that are represented, right? So let's take a few of these for example. Those who serve in kids ministry or student ministry, oftentimes will tell people, oh yeah, I'm in ministry. I serve in student ministry, or my ministry is to kids, which is true. But listen, you're not called there just to hang out with these students and kids and love on them and give them a snack and do a craft or whatever it is and just keep them alive for an hour or two. That's not the ministry. While those things are important, the ministry is telling those kids and those students that there's a God who loves them, who sent Jesus to die on a cross for them. He was buried and raised again. That's the ministry. As you hang out with kids and students and feed them and keep them alive, right? The welcome team. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, I serve in the ministry in this area. I'm on the welcome team. Hey, the ministry isn't that team. The ministry is that you're starting conversations with people as you welcome them in that we hope leads to King Jesus and telling them about who he is. Do you see how that perspective changes everything? The ministry is not where we're serving. The ministry is what we're doing while we serve. It's the ministry of reconciliation. And listen, ladies, some of you, you know where God's called you to serve. You're doing it right now. Some of you are trying to figure that out, and that's great. But the role in which he individually calls you to serve in does not take precedence over the ministry of reconciliation that he gives you within that role. The ministry. You have a ministry inside the walls of the church, outside the walls of the church. Our ministry doesn't change based on where we are. The ministry doesn't change based on who we're around. Now, God changes things in our life and he moves us in seasons. And so we find ourselves serving in different areas and leading in different areas. But God may give you a new ministry area, but he's never going to change the ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. God wants to use you ladies here on earth, where you live, where you work, where you hang out, in your family, in your neighborhoods. He wants to use you to share the hope of the gospel, to be a part of the ministry of reconciliation. And here's what else we see. He's given you what you need to live out that ministry. We see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that God has equipped you with a message. There's a lot of things that I love about our God. But one of the things that I'm incredibly grateful for is that he gives us a ministry as followers of Jesus, but he doesn't send us out empty-handed. He's equipped us with a message. He's given you and me a message that the world needs to hear. Ladies, do you believe that there's a world around us who needs to hear the hope of the gospel? Yes. Everywhere we go, there are people around us who need to be pointed to the truth of Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know the number of people who feel like they need to clean themselves up before they can come to God? Yo, we can't clean ourselves up. You know this. And we get to share that truth with people. Everywhere we go, we carry this message of hope with us, a message that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's what people need to hear. That's what people need to know. You and I, man, I praise the Lord because we've heard this message. Someone has reached out to us and shared the gospel with us. And we've received it and we've believed it down in our soul. But here's what I fear. I fear that after time, while we've received this message down in our soul, if we're not careful, we become numb to the message in our heart and mind. The longer we follow Jesus, the more familiar with the gospel we become. But I pray the more familiar with it we get, we tend to lose our fluency in it. When I think about this, a couple days ago I jumped on an airplane to come here. How many of you have ever been on an airplane before? All right. You've been on a plane. Do you know what happens before that plane takes off? They come over the loudspeaker or they show a video, right? And in that video, they tell us a lot of important things that we need to know for our own protection and our own safety. Has anyone heard that message more than once? More than 100 times? We've heard that message so many times. But now let me ask you this. Can anyone tell me what they say word for word? No. We're familiar with it, but we're not fluent in it. Sometimes I feel like that's what the gospel becomes to us, that we become so familiar with it that we remove ourselves from it. Oh, I've heard it. I know it. I've believed it. And we become removed. It no longer becomes the forefront of our mind. I mean, Christ has given you a ministry, and he's equipped you with the message that he died for our sins according to Scripture. That he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to Scripture. This is the good news that we have. News of joy, of hope, of life that people around us need to hear. You've got a ministry, ladies. And you've been equipped with the message. Thirdly, we see this, that God has sent you out on mission. He's given you a ministry. You have a role to play. You're equipped with the message to fulfill that role, and he sends you out on mission. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Ladies, we are sent out as ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador is, right? It's a representative. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we are representatives of Christ. God is making his appeal through us. And here's the question that we have to ask ourselves. When people see us, do they see Jesus? When people talk to us, are they hearing Jesus? Man, we are Christ's representatives. And man, I'm reminded every single morning that he doesn't need us. And yet he chooses to use us. Does that blow anybody else's mind? No, God doesn't need us. And he chooses to use us. Paul says this, we implore you on behalf of Christ. That word implore literally means to beg, to plead. Paul is pleading with people. There's such an urgency that we hear in Paul's word. We implore you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. Here's my question. When is the last time that we've cared so much about where someone will spend eternity that we've begged them to know Jesus? That we've pleaded with them to put their hope in the only hope that we have? Man, we're called to implore people to know Jesus. I've got a friend in my life. It's a neighbor of ours. We've known her in September. We'll be 10 years. Now, this lady's a Hindu lady. We moved to Atlanta, Georgia, for a student ministry role. My husband was a student pastor for a while. So when she walked by our house one day, she asked what brought us to the area, and we got to tell her about the church. And this is what she said, oh, you are spiritual people. I said, well, kind of. Really, Jesus has changed our life. I would love to share that with you sometime. And she goes, oh, no, I think we're okay. I was like, okay, no problem. Well, she walks by twice a day. Walking her dog. We get to know her. She gets to know us. She started coming over to our house for dinner. We started going places with her. She has introduced me to the best Indian food I've ever had. We're just trying to build relationships with her. I'll never forget sitting around our dining room table, and I just said, hey, tell me everything you can about Hinduism. I want to know what you believe, and I want to know why. And so we ended up having this dialogue comparing Hinduism and Christianity. A relationship with Jesus. You know where we ended that night? She said this, hey, you believe what you believe, I'll believe what I believe, and we'll still be friends. And I said, no problem. And we kept on. We're just building this relationship. One time she came to church with us. I went to the Hindu temple with her. Why? To meet her where she was. if she's going to see Jesus, then Christ followers have to be investing in her. They have to be around her. They have to be talking to her, you know, building relationship with her. I'll never forget, she came to one ladies' event, and I was mortified because we were talking about our stories, our testimonies. I'm like, why are we doing this? There's a lady right here that doesn't know Jesus, and we're all quiet while the music plays, writing out our story of how we came to know Jesus. So I'm panicking on the inside. And God said, hey, Catherine, what if you chill out? I knew she was coming. I knew what you were talking about. And I'm in control, you're not. It was a powerful reminder for me. Y'all, we're just called to be ambassadors for Christ. We're not called to control any circumstance or any situation. We're not trying to make people feel comfortable or uncomfortable. Like, we just have to trust that God is in the details. Driving home that night, I said, Miss B, tell me the difference between our stories. I saw you writing. What were you writing? And she shared with me things I already knew, but she put her hand on my hand as I was driving, and she said, Catherine, there's one difference between me and you. I said, what's that? She said, you know where you'll spend eternity, and I don't. I said, Miss B, like, that's a really big difference, but can I tell you there was a time in my life where I did not know where I would spend eternity? And I told her about my life before Christ. And then we keep talking, and she goes, well, maybe Jesus is real, and maybe he put you in my life for a reason. I'm like, Miss B, I know the reason. I know. Let's share the gospel with her. Y'all, we get out of my car, and she says, not tonight. Not today. Y'all, we're not called to save anybody. But we are called to be ambassadors for Christ, who tell people about the one who can save. Yo, we're 10 years into this relationship, and Miss B still doesn't know Jesus, and the enemy would say, give up. But if God doesn't give up on us, we can't give up on people. We're called to live out the ministry of reconciliation. We're called to share the message that he's given us, and we're called to be his hands and his feet and his heart to people. We're called to serve people and share with people. Sometimes we serve really well, but we never share. And so we just look like good people. Like, apart from Christ, none of us are good. It's filthy rags. And sometimes we share, and we never do anything good for people. Maybe you've heard the phrase, like, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. There's this both and there, this tension that we always have to live with as ambassadors for Christ, with serving people well, and also sharing the hope that we have in Christ. So be ambassadors for him. That's the foundation of our calling. If you're in a church plant, that's great. You're called to the ministry of reconciliation. If you're working as a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or a cashier or whatever it is, and you know Jesus, you're called to the ministry of reconciliation there. You're a stay-at-home mom? Incredible. You've got the ministry of reconciliation there. When we take our kids to the sports fields, we've got a mission field there and a ministry to live out. So if there's ever any point in time where you're tempted to say, I'm not called to ministry, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Every single one of us have been placed in specific places for a specific purpose to leverage our lives for the gospel. Roles don't matter. Titles don't matter. Places don't matter. Context don't matter. Nothing matters except that we love Jesus and we want people to know Jesus in every place that we go. Here's the other thing. Our ministry, we don't turn it on and off. We don't turn it off when we're in certain places and turn it on when we're in other places. As followers of Jesus, we have this ministry everywhere we go. So where do we begin when it comes to actually leveraging our lives for the gospel and living out this calling that God has placed on our life? I just want to spend a few minutes talking about some practical things to consider as you put a plan together for your own life. I don't know about you, but if I don't have a plan for something, I'm probably not doing it. I'm probably not focusing on it. And here's the thing, a lack of intentionality on leveraging our life for the gospel will lead to a lack of engagement for leveraging our life for the gospel. We got to have a plan for it. We've got to be thinking about it. So here's where we start. Number one, just remember your purpose. Ladies, we exist to know Jesus and to make him known. I love Jesus' words in Mark 16:15, and it's actually on this sticker that you have right here, the reference point. But Jesus says this, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." This is the command that we're given. When we leave our houses in the morning, we've got a purpose. When we take our kids to school, we've got a purpose. When we go to work, we've got a purpose. When we're running errands, we go to the grocery store, we have a purpose to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. Oftentimes, you and I, we wake up with an agenda. Is anybody in the room a to-do list kind of person? All right, that's a lot of us. We wake up and we have a to-do list. And if we're not careful, that to-do list, accomplishing the things on that to-do list, becomes our purpose for the day. What if the things on our to-do list were the avenues that God was given us to live out our purpose of knowing him more and making him known? It changes our perspective on how we go to work, because we're no longer going to work because we need to earn a paycheck. We're going to work so that we can build relationships with coworkers and point people to King Jesus. We don't just go to the grocery store to get our list of things, but we go to the grocery store because we want to see a cashier or somebody. We want to be able to start a conversation with them and point them to Jesus. Fill in the blank. What do you do on a daily basis? Change the why behind why you do that. It's all about knowing Jesus and making him known. I'll tell you, the person who taught me the most about this was my own grandfather. My grandfather did not know Jesus. I'm actually embarrassed to say that we were actually in vocational ministry. We were serving inside on the church staff for years. We talked about Jesus to students and parents and leaders week in and week out, and I never once attempted to share the gospel with my own grandfather. And I never forget when he went into the hospital for the last time, and God said, "You got to go see your grandfather." Not because he's not going to make it out of the hospital, but because he needs to know there's hope in me. And I remember going to the hospital. I remember talking with him for a while. And guess what never came up in conversation? The gospel. So I get up to leave, and the Lord just kind of reminds me, "Hey, Catherine, why'd you come here?" So I turn back around, and I said, hey, Carl, can I just ask you a question? It's going to sound out of the blue." And he said, "Of course." And I said, "Has anyone ever told you that Jesus loves you and that he died for you?" That was just the question to him. I didn't know what else to say in that moment. Now, my grandfather was an alcoholic. He walked out on my mom's family when she was a little girl, and he felt like so many people around us today feel. He felt like he had messed up one too many times to be forgiven. Ladies, what you and I know is as long as we have breath in our lungs, we have an opportunity to be forgiven by Jesus. And as followers of Jesus, we get to be the ones to relay that message. And so I left. He never responded, by the way. He never even said a word. It was an awkward, one-sided conversation. But I walked out, and the Lord was like, "You did what you came to do." And I'll never forget going back the next day, and when I walked into the room, he looked up at me, and he just had tears running down his face. And I said, "Are you okay? Do I need to get a doctor, a nurse? Like, what's happening?" And he said, "Catherine, I didn't sleep at all last night." He said, "I couldn't stop thinking about what you told me yesterday." He said, "I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. All I know is I need Jesus, and I need you to lead me to him." And so standing in the hospital room, holding my grandfather's hand, I got to lead him to faith in Christ. And today, he's in the presence of God. Now listen, ladies. That has nothing to do with me. We have nothing to bring to the table. But man, when we put our yes on the table, God does immeasurably more. It's all about what Jesus wants to do through us. And if we'll live out our purpose, he'll take care of the rest. Man, every day we have an opportunity to live out the ministry that God gives us. We don't have to wait till Sundays. We don't have to wait till Wednesdays. We don't have to wait till whenever your group meets. Every day we get to live out the ministry, the calling God has placed on your life. So remember your purpose. Secondly, pray. We're so busy. I think we just forget the power of prayer. But here's what I know. I know we serve a God who hears our prayers and responds. David says this in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. He says, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation." Ladies, we get to come before God and we get to pray that God would allow us to leverage our lives for his gospel, to fulfill the ministry and the calling that he's given us. But here, where do we even start with this? Can we just pray for a burden for lost people? Burdens. What are burdens? Burdens are those things that tend to weigh on us, right? Burdens are the things that keep us up at night. Burdens are the things that will drive us to our knees and beg God to intervene in whatever it is. My question is, do we have a burden for those who don't know Jesus? Do we wake up at night thinking about people in our mission field that don't know Jesus, and if they die, they will spend eternity in hell? And do we have a burden for them? Secondly, pray for a passion to share the gospel. Hey, we talk about the things we're passionate about. I could tell you story after story after story of my kids. Last week, my little girl Ava called me into her bedroom. I thought she was just being super sweet. She said, "Hey, Mom, come here." I come in her room. She says, "Mom, put some respect on my name." I was like, "What are you talking about right now?" This is the same girl who not long ago were sitting around the dinner table, and she does something unkind to her brother, and my husband tries to make a little teaching moment out of it and says, "Hey, Ava, I don't think that's what Jesus would do." She goes, "Well, we all do things differently, don't we?" You know what? I can give you story after story after story. Why? Because I'm passionate about my kids. Because I love my kids. And even though they drive us crazy at times, we love the mess out of them. Man, we talk about the things we're passionate about. Let me ask you, have we lost our passion for Jesus? Have we lost the passion for what he's done in our life? Every single day, there's a lady in our church who every day when she gets up in the morning, she lights a candle beside her bed. And she just prays, "Lord, help me be the light of the world today." And then she blows it out. Man, she's got this passion to represent Jesus, to live out the ministry. Man, how passionate are we about the gospel? I was out for a run not long ago, just trying to figure out how in the world do we get into conversations with people unexpectedly. I'll never forget just being at this stoplight and this guy walking up beside me, and I didn't have my AirPods that day. I left them at home, so I was trying to pass the time by praying. And he says, "How do you run without music?" And I said, "Actually, I normally don't. It's the worst." I'm passing the time just by praying, though, and then I just said, "Hey, do you ever pray?" He said, "Well, no, and here's why," and proceeded to lay out his history and things going on in his life. Y'all, I remember praying that morning, "Lord, how do I get into these conversations? How do I live out the ministry outside the walls of the church?" And here I am talking to this guy who I don't know, who opens up at a stoplight about the things going on in his life. And of course, as soon as he gets to like just heavy stuff, it turns green. So we walk across the street and he keeps talking. I said, "Man, I'm really sorry that you're going through all of that. Here's what things that have happened in my life that are similar, and here's how I got through it." And I was able to share the gospel with him. Did he come to know Jesus? No. But did he hear that there's hope in Jesus? Yes. And when we were finished walking, he was like, "Man, thanks for sharing that." He went to work. I finished my run. And it was like God said, "That's what it looks like to live out your ministry. Live out your calling outside the walls of the church." Y'all, we're comfortable talking about Jesus inside the walls of the church. But the majority of our ministry, our calling, takes place outside the walls of the church. JD, I think it was, that mentioned this last night. They're not coming to us. We've got to do this outside the walls of the church. They're like, pray for lost people by name. When we pray for people by name, it becomes personal. Pray for people by name. We've got a partnership with some churches in Japan, and we just went for our second summer there doing missions, and we met up with a church planter over there, and we were praying with him, and we said, "How can we pray for you?" And he said, "You can pray for my family, but more than anything, pray for," and he gave us a list of about 12 names. Those 12 names were people in their community that didn't know Jesus. Yeah, what if we're praying for people by name? And here's the thing, we can't manufacture burden, passion, or urgency. But if we pray for them, God will give them to us because that's his heart. As you're thinking about a plan, what if you start seeing people? Jesus did this better than anyone we know. Jesus saw people. He saw the woman at the well. He saw Zacchaeus. He saw the guys by the Sea of Galilee that he would call to be his first disciples. Jesus saw people. In Acts, Peter and John walking by the beggar at the temple gate. Remember that story? You know, they could have walked by that guy, ignored him completely, just kept going. They didn't do that though, right? They saw him. They took time to talk to him, and what did they say? Hey, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we give to you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. Man, we get to see people. We need to ask God to give us his eyes and his heart for people, because when we see people and we care about people the way Jesus sees people and cares about people, then we're going to care about their eternities the way that Jesus does. And I don't know about you, but here's what I've learned in my own life. Serving people for the sake of pointing them to Jesus is rarely convenient, but it's always worth it. It's always worth it. Who has God put in your path that you can see? Who's the neighbors? Who's the people that have been coming to your church? Who's the people you cross paths with at the grocery store, everyday places that you're going? And the only way to leverage our lives for the gospel is to intentionally live out the gospel and share the gospel as we see people. Lastly, every plan, as we're thinking about leveraging our lives for the calling that God has given us, is rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Romans chapter 1:16, he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to all who believe." You know what that tells me? It tells me that it's the gospel that's the power of God to salvation. That it's Jesus who changes lives, and he simply allows us to be a small part of it. And we can rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. As we engage in these conversations, God shows up and does what only he can do. On here, you see turn everyday conversations into gospel conversations. Y'all, we can do that as we're relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. Man, be willing to talk about him. Be willing to let him lead the way. We've got a lady in our church who has a friend from Japan, actually, that does not know Jesus. And she's been hanging out, talking, building relationship. They actually play pickleball. Is pickleball a thing over here? All right, cool. So playing pickleball. And he just was recently diagnosed with cancer. And doesn't have long to live. And she said, "Catherine, I need you or Chris to come share the gospel with him." And I go, no. You have a relationship with him. You get to share the gospel with him. And so we've been praying with her for months to have this opportunity to share the gospel. She's like, "I don't know what to say. I don't know. What if I get this wrong?" We're like, hey, the power of the Holy Spirit shows up and does what only he can do. 2 weeks ago, I get a text message from her. And she says, "Catherine, you won't believe it. I finally got to share the gospel with Taka." And I go, "That's incredible." She goes, "Now, there's a language barrier. So I'm not sure what he understood, so I'm going to send a follow-up text message." And she did. She sent a follow-up text the next morning that gave an overview of what they talked about. She shared the gospel again in her text message. She included some scriptures, some passages of scripture. And for 4 hours, it was silent after she sent that text message. And then he responds, and she sent me the text, and if we had time, I'd read it to you. But he says this, "Hey, thank you for sharing Jesus's words with me." Amen. He said, "I've read this all morning long, and I just prayed, Lord, I do believe that you sent your son Jesus to die for me. Will you forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life?" He prayed that. Y'all, God has a way of working in ways that will blow our mind. She sent me a copy of the text that she received to him, and I immediately called her and said, "Did you just lead someone to faith in Christ through a text message?" Yeah, here's what we know. Paul says this, we plant and water seeds, and it's only God that gives the growth. But guess what? We get to plant, and we get to water, and we never know which one we're doing, by the way. We just know we're doing what we're called to do as we live out our calling. Ladies, you've got a ministry. You've been equipped with a message, and you're sent out on mission. Some of our biggest concerns, some of our biggest fears are, what do I do? What if I mess this up? What if they reject me? What if this? There's a lot of what ifs. Hey, I'm not the best person to do this. It's how people every day feel. I'm not the person to do this. And I think we can all relate to Paul's heart in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul said this, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Can you imagine? Like, Paul is trembling sharing the gospel. He says, "And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Ladies, we don't have to have it all mapped out, planned out, scripted out. All we have to do is put our yes on the table. Whatever area, whatever place God has you, we put our yes on the table. And then God does immeasurably more. Imagine the impact if every one of us in this room is a part of someone's faith journey. But then as we're serving and leading others, we're equipping them who know Jesus to be a part of someone's faith journey. Because we have a ministry, but those that we invest in have a ministry. So we get to multiply ourselves into other people. What if we start thinking every time we gather, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's a children's ministry gathering, a student ministry gathering, a ladies' thing, whatever it is, a ministry serving those in prison, whatever it is, what if we leverage those times together to make Jesus known? Let's not assume everybody in the room knows Jesus. And then we equip those to take what we're talking about and share it with somebody outside the walls of the church. Man, we get to multiply that. Research shows that in any given church is made up of 50 to 60% women. And while I would love to see 100% of believers mobilized, I get to focus on women. But imagine the impact if these 50 to 60% alone were mobilized to live out their ministry and their calling, which is to share the gospel, which is to tell people about Jesus. We've got just 1 minute, and I want us to do this. Will you just bow your heads right now? Will you just pray? If you're comfortable, you can pray one sentence out loud. Just pray and ask God to, one, give us a burden for lost people, and courage to live out your calling. Let me give you 1 minute. If you're comfortable, feel free to pray out loud. Father, sometimes we can't believe what you allow us to be a part of. Sometimes we feel so inadequate and so unequipped. Sometimes we can't even see the bigger picture around us, but here's what we know based on your word is that you equip those you called, and you've called every lady in this room. God, these ladies love you. They've been changed by you, and I pray that you would encourage them in the calling that you've placed on their life to leverage their life for the gospel. God, would you give us such a passion? Father, would you renew the excitement that we had on day one of our relationship with you? And God, would that be just the overflow of what we live out? God, would you give us a burden for people? Would you help us to see people? Lord, not just when we go home, but even as we exit these doors and we see people across the convention center, as we see people at restaurants, as we see people in our hotels, Lord, would you help us to see people differently as we see people the way that you do? God, would you remind us that we take this ministry with us, that we are all about you in every moment and every day. God, and we know we can't do it apart from you. Would you give us such an intentionality behind this? Would you allow us to slow down long enough to see people? And God, I pray for ladies in the room that are just wondering what's their role in all of this. God, show them where you've placed them on purpose, for a purpose. God, would we wake up every single day expectant for what you're going to do in our life and through us? And help us to expect that you are going to be at work. And Lord, I pray that when we lay down at night, that we're not just surprised by what you did, but that we're just in awe of it. We expected it, and we saw it, and then we're in awe. And then, God, would you do it again and again and again? Lord, thank you for letting us be a part of what you're doing to expand the kingdom. God, when the enemy wants to distract us, when the enemy wants to discourage us, remind us that you've called us, that you're using us. And at the end of the day, we'll give you all the glory. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Catherine. So let me give you a few instructions for lunch. It's going to be box lunches right out there. You have an opportunity to come back in here and eat. You can eat with your crew that you came with. But I do want to encourage you, because we don't get to be around other female leaders that are living life on mission in the same way that we do. And so if you want to come back in here and connect with some other women, please do. You are welcome to do that. And you can eat anywhere out there or reconnect with your group. We'll be back in here at 1, and we'll have a panel of ladies, and Miss Rivers will facilitate that. So we would love to see you back in here at 1 o'clock. And so thank you for coming. Y'all are free to go out those doors to lunch.